content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the weeks of Monday, June 29th through Sunday, July 12th. The commentary for July was written by Tina Francis, a writer, photographer, and seminarian pursuing the priesthood in the Episcopal Church, born to South Indian parents, raised in Dubai, and shaped in Canada and Seattle. She carries many homes in her bones, an atlas of memory and migration. The commentary for Monday begins as follows with a passage from the book of the 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 5. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Today is the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul. The former, we know, was originally called Simon, but Jesus dubbed him Peter, the rock of the church. Paul was a tent maker. Rocks and tents are very different. Rocks are strong, sturdy, and foundational. They provide an immovable base. A house built on rock will not fall. Rock is steadfast, enduring, eternal, but can also be unwieldy and hard to move. Tents, on the other hand, are meant to be moved. They are made to go out into the world, to explore and to travel. They provide shelter, but the protection they offer isn't meant to be permanent. The church needs both solidity coupled with flexibility, vulnerability coupled with strength. We need home bases and outposts, soaring stone cathedrals and revival tents. We need staying power in the face of changing times and adaptiveness to follow wherever God calls us. We need endurance and evangelism, rocks and tents, to carry out our ministry fully. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And the moving forward question for this day is, where does your ministry take you today? Your home, your church, or out in the world? The commentary for Tuesday begins with a passage from Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? I can get really navel-gazy sometimes. I ruminate, thinking about the same things over and over, lamenting this or that, telling myself I need to figure stuff out or reflect. I need to dig down, go beneath the surface, determine the root cause of what's bothering me, and then rip it out, roots and all. Don't get me wrong, there's value in introspection and being open, honest, and curious about oneself. But what I do isn't that. Instead, I end up in a downward spiral, turning in on itself, constricting, desolation, and consolation. In the Ignatian sense, refer to states of being further from or closer to God, respectively. According to writer and spiritual director Margaret Silf, an inward, downward, constrictive spiral is a textbook sign of desolation. Consolation, on the other hand, looks upward and outward. It's expansive. It sees others, and it sees God. Moving from desolation toward consolation, then, requires a change of perspective, shifting your gaze away from your navel and lifting your eyes to the hills. And now I'll read from this very popular Psalm, number 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, how can you move from desolation to consolation? Our commentary for Wednesday begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 15. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Here's the commentary. I cannot tell you how many times I've stood in front of the mirror and thought, seriously, again with this? It's astonishing the way we circle back to our worst selves, the muttering one, the one who snaps at her child, then cries in the laundry room. You'd think with all the therapy and self-help books, I'd be better at this, but no, somehow I orbit the same loops. I am a mother, a daughter, a wife, a seminarian, a woman with chapstick in every bag and dreams I'm not brave enough to name out loud. Every shift, a new role, a new sorrow, a new gift, feels like learning to walk again. Maybe that's why I love Pauli Murray, who wrestled and stayed in the ring. That is faith. Not the clean kind, but the sweaty, limping, still trying kind. Even Paul confessed the maddening gap between who he was and who he longed to be. And God still showed up. Grace still claimed him. So maybe today isn't for conquering. Maybe it's for returning again and again. And now I'm going to read from this letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 13 through 25. Did what is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin working death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not know, or I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, what is one small way you can begin again today? The commentary for Thursday begins also from the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's odd, isn't it, the sort of people God calls saints. Take Moses the Black, a gang leader, a thief, outlaw. He didn't wander into a monastery seeking Jesus. He was hiding out after a robbery gone wrong. And somehow God said, stay. So he did. Oh, he slipped, raged, probably cursed in Aramaic, but he stayed. Even when holiness felt far away, even when old habits came back, by the end, the hot-headed outlaw had become a gentle elder. When armed men came, Moses refused to fight. He chose peace. He laid down his life. I think about that a lot. There are days I want to bolt. Days when the house is loud and no one listens. When my child pushes every button. When marriage feels like a song I've forgotten the words to. But I stay, imperfectly, on purpose. I stay at the sink, the bedside, the table, when I'd rather retreat. Maybe that's the bravest thing I do. Not slay dragons, not fix cancer, just stay. Sometimes redemption is forged not in the fleeing, but in the staying. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through His Spirit that dwells in you. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what's one way you could stay today? The commentary for Friday begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 21b. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. Caesar gets the coins, sure. The polished silver stamped with his face like a child hollering, "Look at me!" from the top of the slide. Let him have it. The money, the headlines, the hours lost to scrolling, the lists you make to prove you're not crazy or you're not lazy, the spine ache from sitting too long. But your face, your grandmother's laugh tucked into your ribs, your child calling your name like a lifeline, that's not Caesar's. When I think of what can't be claimed, I remember standing at the immigration counter, hands damp, throat dry, clutching a file folder full of proof. School records, pay stubs, my child's birth certificate, evidence of my usefulness. I'd rehearsed my case like a school play, and God said, "This one's mine." What is God's? The joy you didn't conjure, the forgiveness you didn't earn, the unbearable beauty of your own becoming. Let them have what they want, but keep your soul the way you'd keep the sweetest plum in August, hidden until you're ready to bite in. And now I'm going to read this full gospel passage from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. And the moving forward question for this day: how do you, with God's help, safeguard your soul? The commentary for Saturday begins with a passage from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 10, verse 19. "You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." I remember pulling up to the border, Canada behind us, the U.S. ahead, passports stacked in hand, our toddler clutching his blankie. The air tightened as we neared the booth. The officer's questions came in a casually cruel tone. My husband answered in the voice immigrants practice, bright, deferential, "Don't make this worse." Only after the gate lifted, after the nod that meant "you may go," did we exhale. It's tempting to sentimentalize freedom on Independence Day, to wrap it in bunting, drench it in barbecue sauce, call it holy. But Scripture won't let me forget what it means to be a body out of place. Love the stranger, for you were strangers. Not antiseptic niceness, but resistance to empire. Remember, be formed into a peculiar people. Let memory shape your ethics. This isn't ethics for the powerful. It's for exiles, for those who remember the taste of dust and manna, the ones who know how long welcome tasks to grow inside a body. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 21. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him alone you shall worship, to him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, how do you put this verse into practice? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday. It begins with a passage from the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, chapter 9, verse 12. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. Zechariah doesn't offer a pep talk. He speaks to exiles, the displaced, the disappointed, those who've lost land, safety, and any sense of God's nearness. And he doesn't say, cheer up. He names the ache. He names us. I've tried to quit hope, swore it off in whispered prayers I never finished, but it keeps finding me through cracked windows, under locked doors. Hope has teeth. It doesn't knock, it barges in, unshowered, humming a half-forgotten song. And God, thankfully, doesn't mock us for holding on too long. God says, return. I will restore what was lost, twice over. Maybe not on your timeline, maybe not how you imagined, but restorative somehow. Hope is not a mood, it's a calling. Not optimism, but fidelity. You don't have to feel confident for it to be true. You just have to limp your way toward it. And now I'm going to read from this passage of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battled bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. Now, in another passage from the Bible related to this theme, I'm going to read from Psalm 145, beginning with verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His compassion is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all the flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. And now the moving forward question for this Sunday, or the suggestion, I should say, is simply share a memory of stubborn hope with someone who has lost theirs. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.